All right. I want us today being the 8th of October, 2023, we're going to look at lesson number 4. Lesson number 4 in the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk. Okay? You say, preacher, where in the world is Habakkuk? It's right after Nahum. Okay? Does that help you? All right. It's right before Zephaniah. Right before Zephaniah. It's in the Old Testament. All right? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Habakkuk. All right? Amen. Habakkuk chapter number 1 today. We're going to be looking at the whole chapter of chapter 1 and then the first 4 verses in chapter 2. And the lesson today is entitled, Why? It's entitled, Why? 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 I gave you the story or the song today about does Jesus care? And sometimes we often ask ourselves, is the Lord aware of what's going on around us or not? Is he just totally indifferent to the sin and the things that are happening in our world today? What is going on? Does the Lord know about any of this stuff? And you ask yourself those questions. And we often wonder, you know, does Jesus care? I want you to understand something today. He does care. And he wants you to understand that. And as you start in this book of Habakkuk, there is a word there. One word I want you to look at today. It's called burden. B-U-R-D-E-N. Burden. If I were to ask you today how you would define the word burden, what would you say? I mean, everybody would have a different definition. But most folks would come back and they would say, like what the dictionary says, something that is carried, such as a load, or something that is oppressive or worrisome. But did you know that that word burden can also be defined as a duty or a responsibility? He had the burden of saving his children in the house fire. Okay? A duty, a responsibility. And I want you to see something there today. Back in scriptures such as Nahum, we looked at Nahum. If you look back at Nahum chapter number 1, the very first words say, the very first 4 words say, the burden of Nineveh. The burden of Nineveh. The book of the vision of Nahum the Elkoshite. And then if you look at today's chapter, Habakkuk chapter number 1, the Bible said the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. You see, this is showing us that there was a duty or responsibility of Nahum toward Nineveh. Nahum had a duty. He had a responsibility to talk to them, to tell them what thus saith the Lord. And he had a duty and responsibility just like Habakkuk has in the book that we're going to start today. Habakkuk had a duty or a responsibility. And you could probably say the duty or responsibility which Habakkuk the prophet did see. In this book, I want you to understand something. And it's simply this. Whenever God opens our eyes to see those things around us that might cause a heartache or a problem in this world, or maybe we see the things that are happening because of, well, they're basically the consequences of men's sins. They're the consequences of men's choices and decisions. Those heavy burdens that we see, they need to also reveal unto us a couple things. And they need to help us to see that we have a duty and a responsibility to tell them what God says they need to know in order that their hearts might be changed and their hearts might be convicted of their sin and their hearts might be willing to repent of that sin that is bringing such terrible consequences and things going on in their lives, so that they might turn unto the Lord God Jehovah and trust Him as their Savior. You and I today have a burden. God has given us a duty, a responsibility as born-again believers to share this message with everybody we come in contact with. And you know, I know, I've heard it said, not everybody wants to hear that story. Well, that's true. But you know what? Not everybody wants to see what all is going on in this world because of sin either. And if folks' hearts are changed, then a lot of the situations they're in will also change. But they've got to have somebody to tell them about Christ. I don't understand how men's hearts can be so wicked sometimes. And how cruel they can be in our world today. I don't see that. I don't understand that. I don't understand how they can abort babies and just do the things that they're doing in our public school system today with our children. And it's almost like they're trying to make them come out stupid. I mean, really. I mean, that's what it basically seems like they're trying to do. They're just trying to make it so that they cannot function in this world. And they're going to depend upon the government to give them anything and everything they got to be able to have. I don't understand why their hearts are all that way. But I can tell you this. While we could just sit around and grieve and sigh because things have gotten to be so bad in our world, the fact is God has, through these burdens and through these things that's going on in our world today, the Lord God has given us a specific duty and responsibility. And if you'll remember when Jesus talked in the book of Matthew, chapter 9, He looked around Him and He saw the multitudes wandering about as sheep without a shepherd. Remember the story? What did Jesus do? He looked at His disciples. He didn't look at the religious world. He didn't look at the political world. He looked to His disciples. And you know what He said to them? He said, you need to get your eyes open and look at the harvest field. You need to see that the field is now ripened unto harvest. It's white unto harvest right now. He looked at His disciples and He said, are you seeing what I see today? And folks, I'm going to be honest with you. Unless we see things through the eyes of God, through the Word of God, okay, with spiritual eyes, we're not going to have a burden for souls. We're not going to see the duty and responsibility that God has given unto us to share the message of the gospel with anybody. All we're going to do is be concerned about self. And boy, that's where our world is at today. Amen. Our world's in a mess. And it's all because of sin. I want you to see here. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs 29, 18. I want you to see something this morning. You like my cup? Somebody looked at it the other day and said, I like that. What does R-D-Y spell? I said, that's an A. That's my name. You know, so that you don't get my cup, boy. All right. My sister made that for my birthday and sent it to me, so I appreciated it. But I want you to look at what Proverbs 29:18 says. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people what? They perish. You know what that word perish means? It means they die without hope. Where there is no vision, the people perish. They die without hope. They die without ever hearing a clear presentation of the gospel. In other words, when there is no burden and when there is no concern, when there is no sense of godly duty or responsibility, the people perish without hope in their sin. They perish without hope. And folks, God does not want us to be that way. Good morning. Good to see you. Good to see you. Can you give her a yellow slip there also? And you just fill that in and we'll get your name and everything. Thank you for being with us today. Thank you for coming. We'll get her a candy bar here in just a second too, okay? All right. You get a chocolate candy bar today, all right, for coming in and being our guest. Amen. I want you to see, folks, it's time that you and I not only get a burden, but we get a heavy burden. Folks, look around you today. Things in this world are changing. And they're not changing for the good. They're not changing for the better. And I can see, you can see, it doesn't take much to see that the Lord's coming is going to be very soon. Amen. It's got to be. Amen. It cannot continue at this pace that we're seeing happen today. If we don't get a burden and we don't take that Christ-like responsibility that the Lord has laid upon us the moment we get saved, our world's going to die without knowing Christ as our Savior. And folks, listen to me. If we don't work while it's day, the night's coming when no man can work. It's coming. The time is coming. We may not know or even understand the immediate outcome of those things that are happening in our world around us today. But listen to me. I want you to remember something this morning. Although we do not always understand, and there are many times I don't understand. I don't understand God's ways. They're far above my level of thinking. God's ways are not our ways. They're God's ways. And though we don't understand all the things that's happening, I want you to understand something. We can still fully trust God to know what's going on. God knows what's going on. There is nothing that is out of His control today. Okay? I want you to see that. There's nothing that's out of His control. We've been studying the books of the minor prophets. And in these lessons, we now come to a little known and possibly even not even read book of Habakkuk. Many of you probably not even looked at this book. You may not have read it. You thought, boy, that's just a little book in the Old Testament. I don't even know what it means. I can't pronounce the name, let alone read the words. But I want you to see something today. These pages we're about to look at and read are relevant to our day today. They're important to us today. And as we look at this first chapter in this little book, we find Habakkuk asking the Lord a question. A question that many Christians today have asked. A question that maybe you have been asking the Lord. I've asked the Lord. And it's simply this: why? Why? Why, Lord, is this happening? Why am I feeling this way? Why is all this stuff going on in our world? Lord, do you not know what's happening here? I mean, God, have you not seen the things happening around us? Habakkuk simply could not understand why the Lord seemingly, did not see all the things that were going on around him in his world. And he didn't understand why God chose not to do anything about the sin and the violence that was happening all around him. He couldn't understand why God didn't just stop it and just put an end to it. And here in verse number 2, Habakkuk chapter 1, verse number 2, he asked the question. He says, O Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? Have you ever gone to the Lord with a burden and it just seemed like he didn't hear you? You didn't get any response from the Lord? O Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of the violence and thou wilt not save. And I'm going to be honest with you today. These two questions haunt us as Christians today as well, don't they? I mean, we ask these questions. Everybody asks these questions. First of all, we ask and we say, "Oh Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear?" And then secondly, we ask him, "Oh Lord, how long shall I cry out unto thee of violence and thou wilt not save?" We simply don't seem to understand why things are happening the way they're happening. We don't understand why God doesn't just fix it immediately. Why doesn't God, "Lord, why don't you just do this like this?" I've heard folks say, "Boy, if I were God, this is what I'd do." Well, thank the Lord you're not God. Amen. Especially if you've been saved a long time, and even before I got saved, boy, I'm thankful that the Lord Jesus didn't come back before I got saved. I'm thankful today that the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I'm thankful for that fact. We often try to correct God, and we try to tell God how we feel he needs to do the things he ought to be doing. Now, don't we do that? I mean, be honest. Don't lie about it, okay? If you do lie, we'll have an invitation at the end of the service this morning. But look at verses 3 and 4 here in chapter 1. Habakkuk says to God, "Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance?" God, why are you just letting me see all these things around you? Why are you showing me the bad things that's going on, all the sin that's going on, that caused me to behold grievance? Why are you doing this, Lord? "For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that rise up strife and contention. Therefore, the law is slack." Now, is this in the days of Habakkuk or is this in the days of America today? Listen, "Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth." It almost sounds like Habakkuk is blaming God for letting things get out of hand in the world, doesn't it? I mean, doesn't that sound like what he's saying? I mean, he's almost blaming God. And then later, Habakkuk gets all upset because God chooses to use the wicked Chaldeans, the folks that don't even believe in a true and holy God, to chasten the people of God. Folks, that day is coming our way in America. And I believe with all my heart, God is going to use the wicked to judge the righteous for not doing what we ought to be doing for the Lord. For allowing the things to happen in our lives and in our world today the way that they've happened. It's coming today. It just seems that God can't win, can he? He's blamed if things go wrong. And he's never thanked when things go right. God's the bad guy. No wonder the devil has the world use God's name in vain when they get mad at things. Have you noticed that you never hear the devil's name used in vain? Why is that? Because he's not going to curse himself. He's going to curse the one that he hates, the one that he despises. But you know what? When I studied on this lesson, I thought to myself, I am so glad that God indeed does understand our fears and the way that we think sometimes. I'm glad that God understands that we don't know everything and that he is still patient with us. It would have been easy for God to just blow off Habakkuk, just blow him away and just say, "Hey, it doesn't matter, Habakkuk, I'm not even going to talk to you anymore." But he doesn't do that. And you know what God does? He chooses to teach Habakkuk a principle here in this book. He teaches Habakkuk a principle that will help him for the rest of his life. And this principle is that if we truly love the Lord, then we can truly trust the Lord. If we truly love Him, like we say we do, then there shouldn't be a problem with us fully trusting Him as we say we do. Now, it's a blessing to be able to trust the Lord. And you know what? I remember teaching my children. And they would say, "But Daddy, why can't we go to such and such house? Daddy, why can't I play with them? They're just my friends from school." And they did not understand. And I just told them, I said, "Honey, if you love me, trust me." And later they came back and they thanked me, because those kids got in trouble. They could have been there. They could have been in trouble too. But they obeyed. I love that song, "Trust and Obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to what? Trust and obey." If we truly love the Lord, folks, then we can honestly and truly trust Him. Even when we don't understand, we trust Him. I gave you the words to the song this morning, but I want to tell you the words again. I gave you the song, "Does Jesus Care?" In 1901, a man by the name of Frank Graff was going through some very difficult trials in his life. Mr. Graff was a Methodist preacher who preached in and around Philadelphia, Pennsylvania area, and he loved the Lord. But during this period of time in his life, he experienced a time of great despondency. He experienced doubt and even physical pain. But he turned to the Word of God, folks. Listen, where do we need to go when we're going through these problems, when we don't understand? We need to get back in the book. And the story goes that he turned to God's Word there, and he found a verse in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, which said this, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." Man, what a passage of Scripture. And that thought could not escape his mind. He cares for you. He cares for you. He cares for you. Frank, God cares for you. And after meditating on that truth, he wrote the lyrics to this song. And he said this, "Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song? As the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long? Does Jesus care when my way is dark with a nameless dread and fear? As the daylight fades into deep night shades, does He care enough to be near? Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? When for my deep grief there is found no relief, though my tears flow all the night long? Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me, and my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks? Is it aught to Him? Does He see?" Folks, these are questions that all of us have asked. But look at the answer. Look what he put as the chorus of this song. "Oh, yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary and the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Out of the midnight distresses came the music of joy and delight. And this preacher who was hurting and fearful, and he was going through so very much, he found the answer to all of his questions when he read and began to fully trust God's precious word. Folks, that's where our help is today. It's in the Word of God. Habakkuk 2, he faced some weighty decisions in this little 3-chapter book. He is going to look at things through the eyes now of God instead of self. And what the Word of God shows unto him, I truly believe is going to be a help to us, to each of us, to each of us who are going through heartaches and burdens and trials and things that we just don't seem to be able to understand. God's Word can be a help to us, and it will help us to learn not to fully understand perhaps, but more importantly to fully trust the one who allows us to go through these things to draw us unto him so that we can look unto him. Let me share this with you just a minute. This just came to my mind. And while it's there, I want to grab it. I think it's in Exodus chapter 13. And let me just make sure here. In Exodus chapter number 13, when God has delivered the children of Israel out of Pharaoh land, the question is why? Why? Why are you doing this, God? I want you to look at verse number 17. Exodus chapter 13, verse 17. This is not in my notes. The Lord just put it on my heart. I want to share it with you. Exodus chapter 13, verse 17. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. And he took not away the pillar of the cloud by day nor the pillar of the fire by night from before the people. Folks, God's ways are not always our ways. And God said, well, you know, I could lead them out of that land through a way that's easier. It's more close by, it's nearer, but they'll not be able to fight the battles. They're not ready for the warfare that they're going to come in contact with the Philistines. And so God led them through the wilderness. Why? So that they could learn to trust him. And folks, I'm going to say something to you today. You may not believe this, but today God leads you and me oftentimes through the ways of the wilderness, through the briars, through the times where it seems like there's not enough to take care of the needs, when it seems like, boy, we don't know which way to turn, when it just seems like we cannot understand. God leads us in those paths for one purpose: that we might learn to trust him. And folks, if we truly love the Lord, then we can fully trust the Lord. Amen? I want you to see that today. Now, that's my introduction, okay, to the lesson this morning. All right? I'm going to try to start this thing, and I'm going to get through as much of it today as I can. And what I don't get done today, I'll finish out next week. But I want these lessons to be a help to you. And I've heard folks say, well, why are we going through those Old Testament books that nobody ever reads anyway? It's so that you will read it, and you will see what God wants you to see. How he wants to help you. He wants to be a friend to you when you don't think you've got a friend. When you think that nobody else understands what you're going through, God wants you to know, hey, I understand, and I will see you through. Amen? Now, I want us to look at it today. Habakkuk's ministry. The era in which he lived was the old Assyrian Empire that had crumbled, and now more powerful nations were taking control of the world of Habakkuk's day. And in that day, Judah's beloved king Josiah had died in battle because he did not do what God said do. It's the only thing I could read about that Josiah did that was not right in the eyes of God. And when he chose to disobey God and take the warning from the man of God, he died in the midst of battle. It grieved the heart of people. And Judah relapsed then. They said, well, why did God let this happen to us? Because the man of God, the one that was in leadership, did not obey God. And so Israel, instead of turning unto God, they turned away from God. And they relapsed and they went back into the old ways of idolatry and wickedness. Now, they knew the way that they should have gone. But they chose not to go God's way. And folks, that's where America is today. The people of this land know what God says, but they've chosen not to do it. And folks, that's the problem in many lives of families today, and even Christian homes, because people have made the wrong choices. And folks, when we make the wrong choices, we end up having to live with the consequences. And it's not always good. Israel had done this. He's got an identity here. Habakkuk is the one that had a burden for Israel. He had a burden for the people. He had a burden for the situations with the people around them. And in Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible says, a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet. Okay, he was the man of God. And if you go down to verse 19, he said, the Lord God, Habakkuk said, the Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet. And he will make me to walk upon high places. And he said, send this song to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. Let's make a song out of this, how I'm going to trust the Lord. Habakkuk was identified as a man of God. And he had a vision for the people of God. Now, you know what? If I was going to have an identity, that's how I'd want folks to see me today. As your Sunday school class teacher, I want you to know I have a love for you. I want you to see that I have a love and concern for you. And that's why I try to take the time to study and to give you what thus saith the Lord. And sometimes even though we may not like it, okay? I didn't like the taste of some of the medicines my mom used to give me to take. Good grief. And my grandmother, bless her heart, oh my soul. When I would complain with my stomach hurting, you know what she'd give me? She gave me a tablespoonful of mineral oil, okay? She said, this will fix it. Well, yeah, it got rid of the problem, all right. It all came to pass. Believe me, it came to pass. And folks, listen to me. That's where I learned not to complain. As a young boy, I learned not to complain. Some terrible stuff. But I want you to see, first of all, Habakkuk's first dilemma here. And he asks the question, is God indifferent to to sin? I would ask you that question today. Do you think that God is indifferent to sin? Now, Habakkuk's name, we understand it to mean embracer, which may mean that he embraced the dilemma of understanding God's actions in the world. I don't know for sure if that's what it means, but in verse number 2, he asked God the question, O God, or O Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence and thou wilt not save. And he's almost asking the Lord, Lord, why do you seem to be so silent about the sin of this people? Have you not seen what they're doing? Lord, don't you see the things going on around us? And when the Lord does not immediately answer his question, how do we want God to do things for our lives? Immediately. Yeah? It's like the old fellow said, Lord, I will make one request to you, and I will pray and ask you for patience, but I want it now. I want it now. Listen, I quit praying for patience. Because Romans chapter 5, if I'm not mistaken, Romans chapter 5 says, tribulation worketh patience. And I don't need any more tribulation. Listen, Habakkuk was begging God for deliverance for those who were suffering violence. He was begging God for help with this situation, but it seemed like God did not hear him, and neither was he willing to save his own people. Some of you may be asking today, Lord, why are we going through these things in our land today? And it just seems like God doesn't answer you. You know what God is probably trying to tell us? He's probably telling us, get in the book, and if you'll read the book, you'll understand why these things are happening around you. Buckle up. It's going to get worse before it gets better. To Habakkuk, and he's like any of us, he was viewing things from the human perspective only. God appeared to be different in Habakkuk's eyes. He appeared to be indifferent, inactive, and even insensitive to his cry for answers. And that was the way Habakkuk thought. But I want us to look at things from our end in today's world. How do you and I see God today in our own situations? I want you to make this lesson personal. I want you to put it in light of the world that you live in today. I want you to ask the same questions. And I want you to ask yourself, am I seeing God as being indifferent, insensitive? Do we get frustrated? Do we get agitated when God doesn't immediately answer our prayer the way that we want God to answer our prayer? How do we react? What do we do? Do we get mad at God for seemingly not hearing our cries? Do we stop coming to church and stop coming to Sunday school? And do we stop reading our Bible? Do we stop doing what God has saved us to do because we just don't think that God is like he used to be? To Habakkuk, God was just sitting idly by while sin and iniquity ran wild in the world. And Habakkuk was frustrated. He saw the iniquity, the trouble of all kinds on every side. And when God did not hear or answer his cry, he asked the question here in verse number 3. Look at it. Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Everywhere Habakkuk looked was strife, corruption, lawlessness. That's all he saw. Why was God seemingly tolerating the sins of the people? This was Habakkuk's first dilemma when he asked the question. Now I want you to look at verses 5 through 11 where we see the answer. And the answer is something that Habakkuk didn't fully understand. But the answer was that God was going to use the Chaldeans to punish the people of God. And if you'll come back next Sunday, I'll show you the answer. All right? Man, do you see why this lesson is so needed in our world today? Folks, we need to see what God says about things. God is still in control. And if we love Him, we can fully trust Him. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, Lord, I love You today. And I ask You, Lord, in a very special way, to God help us to see things in Your perspective, not ours, but through Your eyes. God, help us, Lord, to learn to trust You and to obey You in all things. I pray, God, today that as we ask the questions, why, Lord, why? God, that You would lead us to Your precious Word. And You would help us to see that You have the answer for every question. Bless us now, Lord, as we depart this place today. And Lord, be with our pastor as he stands to preach. And God, we'll thank You for what You do because we love You today. And we trust You. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for being in Sunday school, okay?